The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Daf Nun Dalid. Today's daf is being studied in the Neshmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Gimel Amud Bet, Perek Haskat Batim. On the bottom line, Amar b'Yirmiyah b'Ra'a Amar of Yehuda, Hayman deshada lifta bepile de'ar'a de'ger. We're talking about a property of a ger. As we know, that when a ger dies, a convert dies, en lo yorshim, he doesn't have anybody to inherit him, and therefore his field becomes hefker. So the first one that comes and makes a hazakah on the field is considered the owner. So what did the guy do? He was shadar lifta. He threw the seeds of a lefet. Lefet is turnip seeds. He took the seeds and he threw them into the field. He didn't plant them. There was cracks. Bepile means the cracks of the field. So he took these seeds of lefet and he threw them in the cracks of the field. He didn't cover them with ground. He just threw the seeds in the ground. So the Gemara says, lo have hazakah. That's not considered a hazakah. My ta'ama bi'idna deshada lo have shvacha. Because he didn't enhance the ground. When you make a hazakah in a field to acquire it, you have to do something to enhance. Just throwing seeds on the ground doesn't do anything. And therefore it says, hashta dekashavach. Eventually when the lifet starts to grow, memena kashavach, it grows by itself. Because you just threw them on the ground, now they take root and it grows by itself. But you didn't do anything actively to cause a shiva on the ground. So therefore, it's not considered a hazakah. Amar Shemuel, hay man defashach dikla. A person, let's say, wants to make a hazakah on a tree. So he's cutting down the branches, let's say. He's cutting branches from a tree. And then he claims that this kavanah was to acquire it. So the Gemara says it depends. If you cut the trees, the branches down, like to prune them, it's for the benefit of the tree in order to cause more growth. So then already, that's already considered a hazakah. But if the reason why he cut down the leaves on or the branches of the tree was to give it to his animal for food, so then it's not considered a hazakah, which we're learning now, that when you make hazakah, you have to have kavanah to be koneh. But if he has a different kavanah, it's not going to be koneh. So the Gemara says, hechidameh, how are you going to know what his kavanah was? Which means the guy could always claim, my kavanah was to acquire it. How do you know if it's not so? How do you know if his kavanah was for the animals? So the Gemara says, shakal mehai gisa data dedikla. If he prunes it equally from both sides, so then you know he's doing it for the benefit of the tree. So he's doing it evenly. However, kula mehad gisa'a, but if he's taking the branches all from one side, so then adata dehevata, that must be he's doing it just to feed his animals, because pruning only from one side is not good for the tree. So therefore he cannot claim that he did it to acquire it, because the way he did it is not in a normal way to give benefit to the tree. Ve'amar Shemuel says, Hayman dezache zichya, which means, let's say a person cleaned up a field from the different pieces of twigs and bad weeds, and then he wants to claim that he did it in order to acquire the field. So Gemara says it depends. Adata de'ara'a kaneh. If he cleaned up these pieces of wood for the purpose of enhancing the field, so then he's koneh, that's considered a hazakah, it's a shevach. However, adata ditzivi, but if he did it in order just to collect wood for kindling, he did it for firewood, so lo kaneh, it's not considered a hazakah. So Gemara says, echidameh, how would you know? So it was a shakal ravreve vizutre adata de ara.
If he took the big twigs and the small ones, so then you say he did it for the benefit of the field. Shakal ravreve vishavach zutre. But if he only took the big twigs and he left the small ones, adata de tzivi. He must have is doing it for kindling, for firewood, because only the big ones light good, not the small ones. So therefore, if he's taking big and small, it's the enhancement of the field. If otherwise, we say it's for the wood purposes. Okay, let's go a little further, and then we'll start reading some of the Rashbams. Ve'amar Shmuel Hayman de'atkil tekla, which means, let's say a person, again, in a field, he's straightening out the field, he's leveling it, let's say. He wants to make a flat surface. So he's removing any debris and things like that on the field in order to make a flat surface, and he's claiming that he did it in order to enhance the ground. So the Gemara says, adata de'ara, if he did it in order to make the ground better, that's easier to plow. When you have a flat surface, of course, it's easier to plow. Kaneh. So then, of course, it's kaneh. That's considered a hazakah. Adata de'bedare. But if he did it for the purposes of threshing, which means he just made a flat ground or a flat surface in order to be able to thresh, that means to take the wheat and thresh them on a flat surface, lo kane, because we have a general rule that any tikkun that a person makes on a field that is temporary, so that's not considered a tikkun. So in this case over here, he flattened the ground in order to use it as a threshing, but eventually he's going to plow, so that threshing ground he's going to undo. So therefore, that's considered a hazakah. When he flattens the ground in order to thresh, that's considered already the beginning of the threshing process. So therefore, it's considered a hazakah. But if he just flattened the ground to make a flat threshing ground, eventually he's going to plow the ground over that. So he's going to destroy his threshing ground. So therefore, any enhancement that is a temporary enhancement that's going to be undone is not considered a hazakah. So the Gemara says, well, how would you know? How would you know what his kavana is? So it says shakal mulya veshada binsa adata de'ara, which means mulya is considered like a mound of dirt, and bansa natsa is considered a hole, which means if he took from the mounds where the piles of dirt was, and he filled up the holes. So then you'd say his kavanah is what? For the ground, because he's smoothing out the ground mamash. However, mulya bimulya, but if let's say he's just taking from one mound and he's putting it on another mound or itself, vinatzah binatzah, and if he's taking dirt from the threshing ground, from the holes, and putting it back in the holes, so then already you see that he's just trying to smoothen out the mounds themselves. He's not taking from the mounds and putting it in the holes to smoothen out the entire ground. He's just smoothing out the mound itself, or smoothing out the ditches in the ground themselves. So then, adata debedare. So then you see, he's not interested in plowing, because you can't plow with still ditches in the ground, but he's just smoothing them out so he can have a flat surface in order to thresh. So then we say, adata debedare. That is kavanah is for the threshing, and therefore we say he is not doing it for harisha, for plowing, and therefore he's not koneh. Ve'amar Shmuel, hayman de'patach maya be'ara. So let's say a person opened up irrigation so the water can go into the field. So he's claiming that he did it in order to acquire the field. He wants to enhance the field. He wants to, he's planting. He was watering. So Kabbalah says again, adata de'ara kaneh. If the kavana is to make hazakah in the field, so he's koneh. Adata de'chavre lo kaneh. But if his kavanah is to catch fish, then already he's not kone. That's not an enhancement to the field. His kavanah is to catch the fish. So the Gemara says, "Hechi dameh, how do you know what his kavanah is? Patach tre babeh." Let's say he opened up two openings for the water. Had me'ayil be'had me'pik. One where the water enters the field, and then the other side of the field he had his exit, so the water
leaves the field. So then, adata de chavre, he did it to catch fish. Because as the water runs through the field, the fish gets stuck in the field itself, and he drains the water out on the other side. So then, his kavanah was to catch fish. However, Gemara says, had baba, but if he only has one entrance, where one gate to let the water in, so then already, adata de ar'a. So then, you say his kavanah is to water the ground, and that's considered an enhancement. Comes the Gemara and says one story based on the halakhot that we just learned. Hahi itteta de'achla dikla betafshicha telesar shenin. There was a lady that she was eating from the fruit of a tree, it was ifkir, and she was cutting down the branches for 13 years. That's the way she was using it. Now, it wasn't her tree, it was ifkir. And she was using the tree. She was cutting down the branches for 13 years, but she was cutting it down from one side. Now, we learned earlier that cutting down from one side is not considered a hazakah. Anyway, after 13 years, atahahu, a fellow came, rafik tute purta. He plowed a little under the ground, under by the ground of the tree. He plowed a little. Atah lekameh de Levi. So he came in front of Levi, ve'amrila. And some say kameh de Mur'ugba. Some say came in front of Mur'ugba. Ukme biyade. And Mur'ugba said the field actually belongs to the fellow. Ata kasavha kameh. So she started screaming in front of the rabbi. So what are you talking about? For 13 years, I'm eating from this tree, and this guy comes along one day and he just plows a little, and you give it to him. Amarla. So the viewer Mur'ugba answered, Ma'i avilach. What can I do for you? You did not make a hazakah like the normal people make a hazakah, which means you ate from the tree, but the way you cut the branches was not in the normal way that people make hazakah. People make a hazakah by cutting from both sides. You were only cutting from one side. Therefore, it is not a hazakah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav. Rav says, Hatsar tzura b'nechse hager kana. So let's say a person has a property of a ger, so he wants to make a kinyan on it, it's hefker. So what does he do? He goes and he draws a picture on the property of a ger. The Mefashim explained, for example, of an animal of some sort, a haya or an off. So that's already considered drawing it. Such a picture is considered a hazakah. And the Gemara tells a story. The Rav lo kane leginta de berav. When Rav, there was a certain garden that was next to the yeshiva. That's a ginta de berav. It was a garden of a ger that was next to the yeshiva. So how did he acquire it? So it says ela bitzurta. He did it by drawing a picture on one of its walls, and that's already considered a hazakah. Okay, so that's all the Gemara over here. Now let's read some of the Rashbams over here to get a little more clarity on all the cases that we just read. So let's start the first Rashbam. The Shadal Lifta Bepilets, the first line in Rashbams. So what did the guy do? The guy threw lefet seeds, turnip seeds in the field. Shezara lefet betuch nika'im shel karka, through the in the cracks of the ground. Hager velo kisa afar. He didn't cover it with afar velo asaklum kim zirikat alefet betocha harif, just throwing the seeds in the cracks. Lo havi hazaka shere lo asashum tikun bekarka. He didn't do any enhancement to the field. Vashlachat zera bekarka eno maase, throwing the seeds is not considered a maase. Ela imken zoreya v'halkach mechase, unless you plant and then you cover it up with afar. Vafabi she gadal alefet v'nishrash bekarka hayom. Even though eventually the lefet grew, the enhancement is automatic. It's without. It's a passive. It's without any action. It's different than a person that's plowing. When you plow, the maase ka'avi begufa karka. You're actually doing a maase in the karka itself. And you're enhancing it immediately. ומנגב את הקרקע, אבל, היי מי כעביד. Now, ואכילת תלפת נמי אין החזקה. Now, eating, let's say if he went after the lefet grew, and he started eating from the product. Eating from the product of a field is not considered חזקה.
פירות אינו קונה ולא אבי חזקה לקנות שלא אינו עושה בלקיטת הפירות ולא באכילתם שום תיקון בקרקע. Again, when you're eating from the product of a field, you're not making any enhancement to the field. No, it's no tikkun. She yedome lenaal gadal uparatz. The paradigm cases of hazaka is either you built a fence, or you opened the fence to make a gate, to make a door, an entrance, or you put a lock. But if a person eats from a field, there's no enhancement to the field. Ve'gam lo latziyam masaot benechsei ager, or let's say like the case we learned on yesterday's daf where he put cushions on the field itself, where he benefited from the field itself. There, he's benefiting when he's lying on the karka, his body is benefiting mamash from the ground. And the ground is serving him, like an eved would serve a master. Which is, when does eating perot kone? Legabe the other hazaka that we learned throughout the perek of 3 years. Jesus, if a person lived on a field for 3 years and was eating perot, he has a right to come along and say, you didn't protest within 3 years, for 3 years, and I was eating perot, I was benefiting from the perot, that's considered a hazaka. But eating perot does not cause an immediate kinyan. That's the way the Rashbam wants to say. Look at the Rashbam. Now, adata dechivata. Scroll it all the way down. We said if he's cutting the branches of the tree, if this kavana is for animals, so then already it's to feed his animals, so it's not considered a hazaka. Im mafshiho, if he's pruning it, letzorich behemotav la'achilam, in order to feed his animals, ve'enu mitkaven la'anat ha'dekel. He's not having kavana for the dekel. Now, umiyu, belekitat ha'anafim mitkaven hu, la'azik bedekel v'leknoto b'hazaka, zu, lo kane, which means, but his kavana is to, you know, his kavana is for the animals, not to enhance the tree. Now, v'afagab dememed la'mahari la'dekel, now you're going to ask me a question. Even if he's feeding it for the animals, bottom line, the tree gets enhanced. He is cutting down branches. It is a form of pruning. Since he doesn't have kavana for that, dumya de na'al vegadar, like na'al vegadar, ela lelekitat perot mitkaven, lo avi hazaka, uhum azik shalom mida'at dami. It's considered a hazaka shalom mida'at, which the Rashbam is teaching us a new rule over here, that for hazaka to work, it has to be mida'at, it has to be cognizant. The person has to know what he's doing. And if he comes along and says, well, I'm mitkaven, let's say, with this feeding of the animals, let's take, for example, let's say he has kavana even. Let's say he says, my kavana is with this picking of the wood, the Rashbam compares it to a guy that walks in the marketplace. Guy's walking in the street and says, I want to make a hazaka. That's not a hazaka. Of course, you verbally said you want to make a hazaka. That's not a hazaka. The bidibur belo maase lo avi hazaka. Which means you need two things. The tarte ba'inan she'ase tikkun bekarka biyadayim. First of all, you need to actually do something physically that enhances the field. Ubo'oto tikkun ye mitkaven l'shem tikkun kedil la'azik. And secondly, you have to have kavana that with that tikkun, you want to be kone. So in this case over here, the guy could be enhancing the tree, let's say, but since his kavana is not for that, his kavana is for the animals, so therefore it's not kos kone. Okay, let's look at one more. Look at the go-aways down. I want to get to the case where Rav drew a tzura on the way of the ged. Look, it's a derav. Actually, start from hatzad tzura. It's the first word on the line of the Rashbam. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up in the Rashbam. Hatzad tzura. Tzurat haya o'of. So Rashbam tells us either he drew a picture of an animal or a bird, b'nechseh ha'ger, on the property of a ger, b'kotle ha'bayit, on the walls of the house. Aval tziyud v'chir. Now if we learned on yesterday's daf, that if you, let's say, plaster on the walls of a ger, or you draw when you paint a little for a little decorative purposes, then we said amma. It has to be at least a shi'ur of an amma by an amma, one amma by amma, keneged ha-pesach. And it also has to be by the front door where it's noticeable. Lav haynu tzurat biriyah. And yesterday, we're not talking about drawing a picture of an animal. And let's see, urim be'alma, ma'aset sa'atsu'im ufrahim, drawing just stamp decorative things like flowers and things like that. About tzurat haya or off? This Rambam says an interesting thing here. But when you draw a picture of an haya or an off, an animal or a bird, hashuva, that's already a very hashuv picture. Bedai be'ehad. Even one picture of such is considered significant. V'lo ba'inen amma. You don't have to draw it over the area of an amma by an amma. V'lo keneged ha-petach. Nor do you have to draw it by the front door. Which means it seems there's certain images, certain pictures that are more significant than others. So you're saying hayav ha'of is one of them. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. We go back to the Gemara. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Itmar. We have a statement. Actually, we're going to see a mahloket amongst the Amoraim on the following subject. Sadeh, you have a field. Again, it's hefker. It belonged to a ger. The ger died. Hamesuyemet bimsareha. It has, let's say, borders on four sides. So the field is really delineated. It's separate. It's its own field. It has its separate borders on all four sides. Amaravuna amarav. Kivan shehikish bamakush ehad. Which means once already you thrusted the shovel one time into the ground in order to start the digging process, the plowing. So it says kana kula. He's kone the whole entire field. Because since it delineated in its borders, so once you make a little koshu, you make a little plowing, you stuck the hoe in the ground, so already you kone the whole entire field. Shmuel amar, lo kana ela makom makusho bilvad. Shmuel says, no, you only kone the place where you actually thrusted the shovel into the ground, but not more than that. Look at the Rashbam, last Rashbam on the page. Lo kana ela makom makusho bilbad, vedavka benichse hager. Again, this is talking about specifically a case of nichse hager, that Shmuel is going to hold, that you only kone the spot where you actually dug. Aval, machar, but a case where a guy, let's say, sold the field, v'kibel zuzeh, and the seller received money, afilu eser sadot be'eser medinot, even if, let's say, he sold them 10 fields in 10 different countries, v'azik be'ahad mehem, and he made hazaka on one of the 10 fields, kana kulan, he's kone all of them, k'da'amash shemuel be'perkei kama be'papakama v'kedushin, v'kparishit le'el, which means, this is only talking about to be kone b'nechse hager. When you kone b'nechse hager, you have to make a stronger hazaka. You have to be kone a stronger area, a little, more of an area. However, when it comes to a mechira, even if you make, once you pay money, even if you make hazaka on one field, all the other fields become acquired to you. Anyway, that's the machlok between Nav and Shemuel. So comes the Gemara and says, she'ena mesuyemet b'mesareha. Ad kama, but let's say it's not misuyim. Let's say it does not have borders. It's opened up. Let's say it's in a valley. Let's say the field of the ger is opened up to other fields, so to the shuta rabim. Ad kama, how much do you have to dig in order for it to be kone the whole thing? Well, obviously, this is a question according to Rav. Because according to Shmuel, even with borders, you have to plow the whole thing. The question is, according to Rav, that's lenient when it has borders, so you consider it one entity that's separate. So therefore, the question is, without borders, how much do you have to actually plow in order to be koneh field? So Amar Papa, kede azil tayara de ture vehadad, which means the shiur. Let's say if you have a pair of oxen that plow the field. How do they plow the field with the oxen? It goes, let's say, from east to west, and then it comes back west to east. I mean, one pattern of the plowing of the two ox, two rows, let's say, right? Going to, I guess it goes from the length and the width. They go back and forth, and therefore, that's considered the Shi'ud that Rashbam says, that Kede Azil Tayyara de Ture, that's a pair of oxen, vehadar, and it returns. Kishiyahros semet bakar shura achat, mikse givula sadeh batkar. So from one end of the field to the other, vehadar, and comes back, ubahazirato yase od shura acheret. And then on the way back, it makes another row, furrow. Dainu shte shurot al penekola sadeh. Bottom line, two rows across the whole field. Sfato el sfato, bimizrach le ma'arav, mitokach kanakola sadeh. Just even if you just made the furrows from east to west, you could create a whole field even from north to south. Or on the width of the field, since bottom line you made a hazakah from the beginning to the end of the field, from point to point, so that's considered a hazakah. Amar Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss a new case. Amar Shemuel. It says in the name of Shemuel. Nechse oved kochavim, which is, let's say you have a field of a goy. Okay, the goy is the seller. The real name is the seller. He got paid. He got his money, but the Jew did not yet make a formal hazakah. He just paid for the field, but he did not make a hazakah. Hare hen kemidbar. So the Gemara says something very interesting here. That field right now is in limbo. It actually is considered like a desert, meaning at this point, it's considered hefker. Kol ha-mahazik bahem, whoever makes the hazakah first, zakha bahem, will be zocher. What does that mean? Gemara says, my ta'ma, what's the reason? Oved kochavim, because when it comes to oved kochavim that sells, michi matu zuze liyadeh, once the money comes to his hands, istalek leh, which means he relinquishes his ownership from the field. However, Yisrael lo kane ademate shtara liyade, but the Jew is not kone until he actually has a shtar in his hands, which means he needs the shtar that he actually bought the field. So therefore, again, we're talking about a case where it's a normal way to write a shtar, so the kinyan is not consummated with money alone, which means it's consummated when you actually have the shtar itself. Now, in this case, over here, we watch from a goy, Mr. Ma, the Jew wants a shtar in order to prove that the field really belongs to him. So, therefore, he is not zoche in the field yet. Now, it left the possession of the goy, but because like the goy, once he gets paid, he relinquishes his ownership. He's happy, it's sold from his standpoint, but it's not bought. So that's a classic case. It's sold, but it's not actually bought yet. He sold it, he's happy, he has his money. But the Jew actually didn't finish the acquisition, so therefore it's in limbo. So therefore it's like a midbar. And therefore, the deen is, if somebody else comes along and acquires it, Hilkach, Gemara says, Kimidbar v'chol. Somebody that comes in the interim and makes a hazakah in the field will be koneh. Now, this doesn't sound like such an ethical thing to do, because we know the guy paid money and somebody else is coming to make a hazakah. So let's look at the Rashbam. Amar of Yehuda, I'm reading Rashbam. Amar Shmuel, Nechse Oved Kochavim. Shemachram Oved Kochavim Yisrael. The goy sold it to the Jew. Shekibel Oved Kochavim Hadamim. Memenu, he already received the money. Ba'adayim lo hazik by Israel, zakone ota, but he didn't make a hazakah yet. Hareze kemedbar hefker, kedemafaresh kaman she'im kadam Yisrael aher. If another Yisrael went, vihazik bam, and he made a hazakah in the field, kana, he's kone, ki idu hen nechse hager shemet. It's like a nechse hager, it's like the property of a ger that died, it's hefker. Now, ויש מפרשים דמעות מי יחזיר כל הראשון, אוקיי, ולי אין דרעי כלל, דאם כן מי הרי כנדבר, אלא זכה בהם לגמרי. רשב"ם says, the guy that's קונה it, is קונה it in totality, and the goy doesn't even have to refund the money, which means that the goy keeps the money, and this third guy came and took the field, and that's it. So the guy that paid the money is out. ואם יכול כל הראשון לדון עם העובד חכבים, להוציא ממנו ממנו, אוקיי, ומיהו, look at the first word on the line, ומיהו, נראה בעיניי, and this is the Rashbam says, דהי שני רשע מקרי. That the guy is רשע for doing such a thing. דכיוון דהי לוקח ראשון זוזה, since the first guy paid money, לא גרם מעני המהפך בחררה, הוא בא אחר ונטלה. You have an ani, a poor guy that's going after a certain piece of a cake, whatever it is,
and all of a sudden somebody else comes and takes it. You know the Ani was going after it. It's like a certain cases over there where even though it's permissible to compete under a certain way, but a person that does such things is considered Rasha, the Mikri Rasha, HaWahir, right? So comes the Gemara and says, so that's the deen of Shmuel. Now, the Gemara is going to challenge Shmuel's deen. Amar le'abayel Rav Yosef, mi amar Shmuel hacher? Did Shmuel actually say such a deen? That because he didn't get the shtari at the Israel, so then already the goy relinquishes ownership, and therefore somebody else that comes and wants to take the field can acquire the field. Did Shmuel ever say such a halacha? Ve'amar Shmuel, dina de malchuta dina, famous rule of Shmuel, the law of the land is the law when it means. When it comes to monetary laws that the government establishes, that law takes on the law of Yisrael, which means the Jewish law has to follow such a law. I'm going to read that in the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, all the way down, it's already after they get wide. It's like corresponding to Tosafot, the bottom Tosafot, Bage. Go across a little more up. Ve'amar Shmuel, dinam malchuta dina, kol mesim ve'anoniyot, all taxes and land taxes, u'minhagot shel mishpete malachim, and all the customs of governments, shirgidim lanhig b'malchuta nara, that they normally follow, dinahu, the law is, shekol b'nei ha'malchut mekablim alem ritzonam, chukei ha'melech, the whole country has to accept upon themselves the laws of the government, the king, u'mishpat ha'melech, din gamurhu. It's a law. Ve'en le'mahazik b'mamon haveru al pichok ha'melech ha'nahog b'ir mishum gezer. Which is, if the government says that it's not theft, even though the Torah might say it's theft, dinah d'malchuta dinah, Rashbam says. But the law of the land is the law, and you follow that law. Oh, so what does that got to do with anything? So the Gemara says, u'malka amar, and the king of Babel says, lo likni ar'a, ela be'igarta, that a person cannot acquire a land unless he has a shtar. And therefore, how could you tell me, Shmuel, that this second guy is going to go and make a hazakah in the field? The dinah de malchuta says that to acquire you need a shtar. Which means, so the first guy, once he gets his shtar, he's the legal owner. So he's a rabbi. The government doesn't acknowledge that if a guy comes down and makes a hazakah, they don't acknowledge our law. They hold the guy that has the shtar, he's the legal owner. So therefore, and we respect the dinah de malchuta dinah, and Shmuel said dinah de malchuta dinah. So how could you tell me all of a sudden now that Shmuel holds that the second guy that comes and jumps on the field with hazakah is kuneh, he doesn't have a shtar? So you see that it cannot be. So that's the question that they asked. Amale. So Abaye comes along and says, Ana lo yada'na. He says, I don't know this statement that you're saying from Shmuel. What I do know is a story. And from the story, that's why I know Shmuel's opinion. Uvda hava bidura dera'avata. There was a story in the village of shepherds. That's Dura is the village, dera'avata is shepherds. What was the story? Yisrael dezavan ar'a me'ovet kuchavim. Our case, a Jew bought a piece of land from Oved Kuchavim. Vata Yisrael Aharina, and then another guy came in the interim, Rafik Bapurta, and he plowed a little. Right? He made a hazakah. Atal Kamed Rav Yehuda, he came in front of Rav Yehuda, who was a student of Shmuel. So whatever he's going to say, he probably heard from Shmuel. Ukma Bida Desheni, and he established the karka in the hands of the second guy, the guy that made the hazakah. So therefore you see clearly that when a Jew buys a piece of karka from a goy with kesef, so then the deen is as a deen of hefker, and the first guy that makes a hazakah is koneh. So therefore, he's, I don't know, dina de malchuta dina, I don't know what regarding that statement, but I just know a ma'aseh. There's a story, and the story clearly that Yehuda said, like I said, in the name of Shmuel. So Rabbi Yosef says, what? That's no proof. Amale dura deravata kamart. You're bringing me a story from the story of the shepherds over there? Hatam bage metamere avu. These fields over here, they were fields that were being hidden, which means the owner of the field was not paying taxes. He was hiding the fields from the government. That's what it means, metamere avu. They were concealed from the government. The inu gufayu lo avu yave taska lemalka, which means the goyim that was sitting on this field over here were not paying taxes to the king. They were evading the government from paying the taxes on these fields. Ah, so the government says in such a case, umalka amar man diyahif taska, the guy that's going to pay the taxes, lichul ara, he's the one that can have the field even without a shtar. This was a special case. Normally, Rabbi Yosef says the government holds, you got to have a shtar. And the one that has the shtar, he's the one that's koneh. And therefore, generally speaking, then the malchut adinan, then the second economic azaka. Because bottom line, he's not holding the shtar. This case over here that you brought me from Dura de la Avata, from the shepherd's place over there, that was a different case. There, the government allowed the sale to go through even without a shtar. That's why the second guy that made a hazakah is koneh, because there was a situation over there of a person was evading, he was hiding the field from paying taxes. So therefore the government said, the first guy that gets on the field and pays the taxes, he's a legal owner, even without a shtar. But you cannot bring me a ra'yah from here to all other cases. In a regular case, the government holds you need a shtar. So that was the retort by Abayir to Rabbi Yosef. So again, let's review this Shekhna v'Tariyah, because it's a very interesting Rashbam over here that we have to see. So again, the first statement started off Rabbi Yudas in the name of Shemuel, that when a guy sells to a goy, so the sale, the goy takes his money, the field is considered hefker, so if somebody else comes in the interim and makes a hazakah, he's koneh. That was the question, and Rabbi Yosef explained it. Rabbi Yosef was the one that explained this halakha. Good, as we said. So it says, Abaye tells Rabbi Yosef that you will say, Abaye challenged the halakha. Abaye said, "Aye, what about dina de malchut dina?" So Rabbi Yosef says, "I don't know about dina de malchut dina. All I know is a story that happened in the Dura de Avata. Rabbi Yehuda was posek that the second guy that made a hazakah is koneh in a case where a Jew sold a field, where a goy sold a field to a Jew." So Abaye comes along and says, what are you talking? That story has no bearings on what we're talking about over here. That story was a specific case where a guy was eluding, the goy was eluding paying taxes. In that case, the goy said, the government said, you have to have a shtar. But generally speaking, they say you have to have a shtar. Now, seemingly from the Gemara, it would seem that Shemuel's din is rejected. Which means, because we have a contradiction between Shemuel's two statements, between the din of dina de malchuta dina and the din where he said, like a goy selling a Jew a property, where one statement says you got to follow the government. The government sounds like it says you have to have the one that has the shtar is the one that's the legal owner. Mashiach Shemuel said that once you give the money to the goy, the field is hefker, and another guy can come in and make a hazakah, even though he doesn't have a shtar, he owns it. So, the Chavra, we have a contradiction. Now, the only answer that we saw to this contradiction was the way Abaye answered. Abaye said that is the main law, and if Shemuel made his statement, he was only talking about cases where there was a tax, a guy that wasn't paying his taxes. So in that case, the government waived the din of the shtar. But in a regular case where the government demands you need a shtar, the one that holds the shtar is the owner. So therefore, when a Jew buys a field from a goy, even though he pays money, he is the legal owner once he gets the shtar. Nobody can come in between and make a hazakah. So it seems that that's one way we can reconcile the two statements. However, look at the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam says something very interesting. He says, look at the Look at the Rashbam, when they start getting wide, the widest lines in the Rashbam, and go to the widest line in the Rashbam, and then go up a couple of lines. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here, Amar le ana lo yadana. It's the Rashbam right before they get wide. So he says, Rav Yosef, name pal korcha kaba yada lahada amar Shmuel dinah de malchuta dinah. Rashbam says, for sure Rav Yosef knew the dinah de malchuta law. Everybody knows Shmuel said dinah de malchuta dinah. Va'ade kamadele le abaye ana lo yadana. And when he said, oh, I don't know that law, he was able to answer it. He could have answered it if he wanted to. But he'd rather say, listen, I have a story to back me up that Shmuel holds this. And Abaye himself, Abaye said, the story is no proof. Here's the key. Rabbi Yosef held the story as a proof. How does Rav Yosef answer Dinat Malchuta Dinah? Rav Yosef, no sfira lehayda amar Rabbi Yomalka amar lo likul ara'a ela bishtara. Rav Yosef argued, it sounds like on the Mitziut, he held that the government doesn't hold it, you need a shtar. That's not their qualifications. Ela delav Dinat Malchutao, b'chazaka nami likul. He held that the government holds it, if you make a hazaka, also it's considered ownership. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef will hold that dinah de malchuta dinah. Yeah, we know dinah malchuta dinah, but we have a story. And the government really holds that if somebody makes a chazakah, it's also considered a kinyan. You don't need a shtab. So therefore, the Rashbam, even though the Gemara doesn't speak any of this out, but the Gemara, the Rashbam holds that the halakha would follow the way Rabbi Yosef interpreted. And therefore, he's posek that if a Jew bought a field from a goy, once he gives the money, it's kemidbar. The field itself has a din of a midbar, it's a desert. And the first one that comes to make a hazakah is going to be koneh, and he held that that is the dinah de malchuta dinah. Goyim do not hold, the government does not yet have a necessary shtar to be koneh, and that's the way he's posek lemaaseh. If you look at where he says this, go all the way back up, right, mamash, corresponding to Tosafot v'Yisrael. See the Tosafot v'Yisrael? Go right across and you'll see in the Rashbam v'li nir'eh de'ilcheta k'shmuel. The halakha follows the law of Shmuel. Deha Rav Nachman de dayanave. Rav Nachman was a judge, as we're going to see later on. Bilcheta k'vateh b'dineh. The halakha follows Rav Nachman. Dan k'vateh l'kamel. Like we're going to see later on, Rav Nachman also agrees to this din of Shmuel. וגם הרבה אמוראים כשמואל, הרבה אמוראים עושה עוד רק שמואל, סביר לקמן, וסריק שמעתים והאחי, ולכה פעלו אותה. והד אמר שמואל דינה דמלכותה דינה, רבי יוסף עצמו היה יודע תירוץ הדבר. רבי יוסף נו הרי answer it. תאמר לי, הבאי אלה לא ידע על העובדה, איך היא עבר, לא חשש לתרס. When he said, לא הבאי ידע, I don't know what this דינה דמלכותה. Of course he knew what לא הבאי, he knew the דינה דמלכותה דינה. He just held, like we said, that what? He had a story to back him up, and he held, anyway, the dinah malchuta is not like you're learning it at Bayeh. He held the government doesn't know you need to start. So therefore, the Rashbam is posik indeed like halakha ke Shmuel, and therefore the second fellow can come and make a hazakah, although he's called the Rasha, we know that, but he can indeed make a hazakah. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen, Ve'amen.